It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks joins us in a bit. Jordan Mailata will join us at 4 o'clock. Now joining us, as he does every week, normally it's going to be on Monday, but today it is on Tuesday, Donovan McNabb to talk about the game, to talk about Jalen's performance. Speaking of Jalen, Donovan, what was like your overall take on the game? The goods, the bads, everything.
Well, it looked like a team that didn't play in the preseason. You know, a lot of weapons. I thought the play calling at times was sufficient. It was right on time. I thought, you know, obviously utilizing Saquon and AJ and Dallas were kind of what we needed in order to be successful. I think the positives of it all is obviously we could see where this offense can go even when we're not at our best, and then where it can be when we are our best. I think Jalen, he can tell you himself, there are a lot of throws that he would love to have back. Too many turnovers, quarterback center exchange, to trying to be somewhat of the hero, trying to make the miraculous play instead of just making the easy play. And for a quarterback, we all kind of get caught up in that situation when the game is going. But I think for Jalen, it will be an opportunity for him to sit and learn from it and know what he actually has and now can kind of clean it up as we go forward.
Take us into the mind of the QB. And yeah. I guess when you're in that position, and it's a instinctual type thing as well, but balancing when are you trying to make a play and trust your abilities versus when you know you shouldn't try to make the play. Like, how difficult can that be at times for a quarterback?
You know, it kind of compares to almost the basketball player, where, you know, you're going through the course of the game, it's going back and forth. You know, you hit a couple buckets, they come down and knock down a three or two, you talk a little bit of trash, the energy level's high, you're down by two. And all of a sudden, instead of getting to the basket, you shoot that three. And then they come down to score. You come back. You think you gotta kind of make that big-time bucket. And it's like, just take the easy one and let the chips fall where they may as it continues to go on. And I think for a quarterback, we get in a situation where we dial up a play and we get our rhythm going where the chains are moving. And then you're looking for that explosive play. Instead of continuously to move the chains and be methodical, you see the coverage that you expect for that big play, but it's one key factor in that is you're reading that safety, and that safety tries to play the game, and all of a sudden you think you had a big post, and he drops on you, and you still are in the act of throwing it because you've seen it, you read it, you think it's there, and all of a sudden it's a pick, or he drops it. Now you got to work your way back of, okay, now let's get back into the groove, and it's kind of hard to do it for quarterbacks. You got to be in mode. You got to stay in mode of just taking what the defense is giving you, which it can be boring at times, but you still kind of have to stay into that mentality until it presents itself to get that big play. You could miss that big play, but if you don't and you hit it, it's such a great play and a great momentum changer. But we all know if you throw that interception or whatever it may be, That just kind of ruins that whole series and that whole drive, and now you got to start back over again.
It looked like there were a couple of situations, specifically the interception he threw in the end zone, the ball that he threw to AJ.
Correct.
That he left the pocket when it didn't look like he needed to leave the pocket. If he had just sort of stepped up, AJ was open earlier in the play. Why? Obviously, you're not in his head, but what would be a reason for him to sort of run out to the right when he doesn't need to, when the offensive line's giving him a good pocket?
You know, I'm not going to just pick Jalen out. I'm seeing that across the league, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
I'm seeing a lot of the quarterbacks throwing off of their back foot, fadeaway throws, No one's putting their foot down, driving the ball. I'm seeing them float in the pocket, which, you know, instead of just pocket movement and finding the gap and sliding and pushing up in the pocket and delivering the ball, I'm seeing the floating back another 5 yards to running up in toward the line of scrimmage and still looking downfield where they're in the pocket probably about five to five and a half seconds. Instead of just getting back and letting that ball go in 1.5 to possibly 2 seconds. So I wouldn't say it's just Jalen, but then I, you know, you look back on it on that particular play, my initially thought from a quarterback standpoint was you got outside the pocket, just go. Just go and take the yards, move, you know, whatever it may be, 5 to 8 yards, and go to the next play. In those situations for quarterbacks, they're looking for that big play, and it goes back to what I was saying. You're looking for that big play where all of a sudden color flashes in front of your eyes. You see them open, but then you tend to forget that other key factor of that defender now running in front of him to pick it off.
Yeah, he had some plays I'm pretty sure he wants back. Certainly has to improve his decision-making if this team is going to get where they want to go. We ultimately believe he can do that. What are some of the other things when you look at the offense and how they sort of operated Friday night in that game? There were some good things as well. So what are some of those things that you saw that you were sort of encouraged by?
Well, I mean, Saquon being Saquon, you know what I mean? Where I think that was – even though I think people kind of were looking for us to get giant Saquon before the injury, did we really expect it to explode like that in the first game? No. But it did. And I think a lot of it, too, is what we talked about, I would say, before the game. Of, you know, with the weapons that you have, if you're able to dial up different plays to get everybody involved, then the running game now begins to open up even more. And linebackers are dropping back in their 7-on-7 drops, sitting at 8 yards. You know, then you got safeties are dropping back at 12, corners are looking inside, and all of a sudden you see Saquon find a hole, and he takes that now 12 yards. And then the next play, it's a play action. Then you hit your outside receivers, and then Dallas gets involved, and, you know, then you're rotating guys, and all of a sudden now Saquon gets that other opportunity, and it's like, boom, touchdown, he finds himself in the end zone. So I was shocked from an offensive standpoint because Kellen Moore is not known for running the football. And remember, we talked about how he's going to include Saquon in the running game and be able to utilize that consistently to open up more of the passing game. Well, it definitely happened. And so I was impressed by that. I was impressed by us getting Dallas involved. And then obviously, you know, you take away those mistakes offensively, I would say, you know, it was an impressive performance in the first game. Now what can we do to kind of build off of it?
You know, you mentioned the run game sort of making the passing game easier. One thing they tried a little bit and they seemed to struggle was Jalen under center, which makes it a little bit easier to run a believable play action with Saquon.
Right.
Do you think that's something that can develop as the season goes on, or is there something about Jalen as his skill set or however he plays quarterback that makes being under center more difficult for him?
Well, this is the thing, and I'm so glad you brought that up. When you look across the league, how many quarterbacks do you see under center?
Not a ton.
Not a lot, correct?
Not a ton, yep.
Right, because this is the thing, is now we've moved to the shotgun era where everybody wants to sit in the shotgun and all of a sudden their footwork is terrible and they're late on throws, they're holding the ball, now they're trying to gun it through windows instead of the anticipatory throws. And the anticipatory throws go all the way back to back before offense when I played, that West Coast, traditional West Coast offense. And so once I came in the league, everybody was on the center. There was play action. It was the I formation. You know, you were still in probably 21's grouping, which for 21's, people need to understand that that's, you know, usually when you have a traditional fullback. Or if you're an 11's grouping, where now that's kind of what you're seeing with the one tight end and the one running back. But now I think it's important for Jalen to learn how to play from under center. You know, because you learn how to play from under center, you go with your pre-snap read, you're seeing your front, your coverage. Now all of a sudden you're going through your cadence and people are moving, you're starting to understand that he and the center are on the same page, reading out safeties and linebackers in case they got to change the call. Now you turn around and hand the ball off to the running back, where now linebackers have to really read their keys to see if it's run or pass. And so for Jalen, now that opens up a lot more different things, because as he now pulls the ball and looks back at his post-snap read, he's seeing safeties and how they adjust. He's seeing linebackers if they're blitzing. He's seeing read number four weak or four strong for blitzes. And so I just think that's an added dimension to this offense that they really need to enhance for him playing under center. Well, the quarterback-center ball exchange has to be better, which I think it will. But I think playing on the center is going to be such a key factor in this offense.
I just want to tie together one thing to something we talked about at the beginning, because I'm watching Brock Purdy last night. And Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts are different quarterbacks. But one thing that's similar is that publicly a lot of people give a lot of their credit to the success of them to the players around them. Oh, you have these weapons. You have those weapons. Does it make it more difficult, do you think, for a quarterback who publicly everybody's giving credit to the players around them rather than them, to sort of stay within themselves and do those things that you're saying, make the plays that are there? Or do you think it creates other pressure for the quarterback to go out there and go, no, I can do just as much as they are. Like, I'm just as important as they are.
I'm going to add to that. It's going to be a little bit, it's going to be more of the play caller. And the play caller having the trust of his players, meaning his quarterback and the supporting cast, to be able to execute it when called. And so I think that coordinator to quarterback kind of communication has to be on point enough where I know what he's thinking when he calls the play. And he has to have that trust that whatever play I may call, if they give us something different, that he'll be able to have the answer to their question. And so I look at it in the sense of the comparison between San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan or whoever his play caller may be, because Kyle's usually called to play, and Brock Purdy. Well, yes, they have talent all across the board when you look at it, but so do we. But then it also goes to that relationship that he has with Brock, that he's built since Brock came in as the backup. Now he's the starter, where what we've seen all year last year now start to enhance. Will we build that kind of rapport with Kellen Moore and Jalen with what we have? That's kind of going to be the question for me that you brought it up, because if they build that rapport between the two, you'll see Jalen have a Dak Prescott kind of year where he puts up good, great numbers.
Mm. We certainly are looking forward to that, man. When you look at next week, right, listen, after this first week.
Then we get on the defense, though.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we can talk about the D, but we got you here, so we might as well get your thoughts on what everybody's talking about around here, which usually is our offense. But you got some thoughts on the D? What'd you like about the defense, man? They made some plays, and actually, we turned the ball over early in the game, but the defense, yeah. I thought they did a great job of holding Green Bay to field goals, which allowed us to sort of get back in the game. How'd you think the defense played?
I would say from our first showing, much better than what we've seen in our last 7 weeks. Remember last year we talked about the interior part of our defense, that being so much of a problem for us. I thought we've shown some signs of cleaning that up. Can it be consistent, even though we gave up some yards versus Green Bay, and then there were more opportunities that Jordan Love just didn't take advantage of, and Green Bay. So I just look at it in the sense of it was a good start for our defense. Our offense put them in tough situations early, and I thought our defense did a great job. Now I want to see us create more pressure from our front seven to take a little pressure off of our secondary.
All right, Donovan, appreciate your time, man. Look forward to talking to you next week. Oh, quick question, actually. So,
yes,
you know, Ike calls you Five, and it drives my father crazy because your name is Donovan. Now, I didn't play with you, but can I call you 5'2" just so we can piss him off? No, I can't because I didn't play with him.
Ike's saying no. Well, he didn't earn that. He didn't earn that respect.
I'm just messing with him. I'm messing with him. That's up to five.
Well, I just think, I think it would be funny if we both annoy him just by calling you five.
We're just calling you five from here on out,
your dad?
Yes.
No, please don't. Please don't annoy your dad. But,
All right, man.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, broski.
All right, cool.
So Donovan says that I can call him five, but he doesn't want to do it specifically to annoy my father because I don't think he wants to deal with that.
Yeah, so. He remembers Howard.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you. Thank you, Donovan. Elliot Shore Parks with us, back from Brazil, brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Part of me, you know, I love you, Elliot. Part of me was hoping you would end up in a Brazilian prison.
I know you were. Trust me.
For content, you know.
But look, it's all about the content.
For the show.
Exactly. Look, and for your show specifically, to be clear. Yes. If I was going to get arrested, I was going to make sure it was between 2 and 6.
Yes.
I mean, Brazil was unbelievable. Fans of Philly crushed it. But it's good to be back. Good to, you know, see you guys. Got a game on Monday, so happy to be back.
I mean, it was a long flight, you know.
Yeah, it was. 10 hours. It was a long work trip, for sure.
Long work trip.
It was a lot of...
enjoyed the pictures and the photos and the videos, man.
I didn't see a ton of, like, work pictures.
A lot of that was hanging with Eagles fans, which was a ton of fun. Up to almost 8,000 followers on Threads.
At Elliot Shore Parks.
I had my big CBS Sports News hit about Threads, so...
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was on the CBS, like, national... Sunday morning show or whatever.
Talking about threads. Because you were in Brazil and you couldn't use Twitter.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
At Elliot Shore Parks.
I'm not on threads.
No one's on threads.
Yeah, next, Elliot's a shill for Mark Zuckerberg.
Next big thing.
Yeah. So, I guess, because we only have a few minutes here, but we have the rest of the hour with you. Now that we should just do the big thing up top, especially because we just talked to Donovan about it. Now that you've had a few days to sit on it, Jalen's performance.
Oh, God.
What?
You've just been out of control today, all day today, man.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've sit on it.
I didn't even notice that, man. I've let several go today already. Yeah.
You guys have definitely widened the net of what qualifies as a pause.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Ike's lucky that Donovan didn't say pause when he said this in the interview.
We can talk about the D.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Play it again.
We can talk about the D. That's a good one.
That's a keeper on the drop board.
Don't encourage him.
So,
go ahead, bro.
Jalen's performance, the big picture, where are you at? More good or more bad?
I mean, I was shocked how bad he was because I do believe that in training camp, he looked like a different quarterback. I thought in training camp, he looked like the quarterback that they needed, which was smart with the ball, taking what was there. So I did not expect at all for him to come out and look like the exact same quarterback as last year. He was better against the blitz, which is noteworthy, and that is an improvement. But he once again had turnover issues, which is becoming all too common with him. I thought he left some clean pockets a lot and like rolled out to the side, which was a bad habit he got into last year. And those are the two things he can't do. I mean, Ike, I'll say it. Like, I was wrong about the offensive line. The offensive line was better than I expected. But it kind of didn't matter because Jalen kept escaping clean pockets. And for as lucky as he was to only have the 2 turnovers, he almost threw the game away on that final drive. So I still stick with it where offensive line, defensive line, Jalen, and I left that game feeling worse about 2 of them and ironically better about the offensive line.
So here's the leave it for us to not necessarily be completely satisfied with the W, but rightfully so. But I think even with Jalen's play, a lot of us want to be able to focus on how well they did against the blitz. We talk so much about the blitz all offseason, and if he doesn't pick up the blitz and all this stuff. We did this ad nauseum this offseason. And to his credit, to Kellen Moore's credit, to the offensive line's credit, they did a tremendous job against the blitz.
They did.
They had the number one QB rating against the blitz.
To the point where the Packers kind of stopped. Like, they did it early, and then they didn't do it.
That's what happens with blitzing.
100%.
When you pick it up, coaches will back off. They will stop doing it. But we can't even focus on that yet because the other thing is still there. The bad decision-making, the turnovers. And it can't be ignored. Like, it can't be ignored. I understand people want you to praise him for some of these other things that he did well and his resiliency and he battled back. But like Elliot just said, on the last drive, the game-winning drive, he almost threw the game away then.
If not for AJ.
Yes.
And the throw.
And fumbled it, too. I mean, it was Saquon.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Saquon, that's Cam somewhat too. But to your point about the near throw to AJ, if you watch that play, it looks like everybody expected him to hand it off to Kenny Gainwell. I mean, Juergens is 5 yards down the field. It's clearly run blocking if you look at it. And he throws it right to Jair Alexander, right to him. And AJ blocks it away and becomes non-interception. Now, to Jalen's credit, he made big plays on that drive. He made big running plays. He had a few really nice completions to Devontae. And that matters. But ultimately, they won that game more despite of him than because of him. Now, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still a win. But it feels like it's been a long time since we all did a show, and it was they won and Jalen was awesome. Just feels like it's been a long time since that happened. The Buffalo game.
The Buffalo game
would be it. But outside of that, I mean, in his last 10 games, he's had a quarterback rating over 100 twice, and they've lost both of those games. Mm. So just too often, we come in the day after a game, and it's explaining they actually did look good when you think about it. Like, it's time for the Eagles just to start looking good. And where we can leave a game and say, Jalen was good, the offense was good, the defense was good. Doesn't mean you have to win by 28 points. But too often now with this team, and it was a continuation on Friday, yeah, they win. But we all can see with our eyes, they just didn't look impressive.
Well, and that's not a formula for success. The Eagles, if they're being honest with themselves, and I'm assuming they are, I don't pay as much attention to what's being said publicly, because you should present a united front. You got each other's back. You're in support. You're happy that you got the win. But behind closed doors, these things ought to be legitimate concerns when you talk about formulas for success. You don't turn the ball over twice in your red zone and not give up two touchdowns. So they were fortunate there. The defense bailed them out there, right?
Bailed them out after the interception in the end zone to AJ. Because remember, the Packers got all the way down into the red zone, and I think it was Moro Ojomo got pressure on Jordan Love. He throws it away on third down, and it's a field goal and not a touchdown. So the defense was, as good as Saquon and AJ were, the defense was the better unit, in my opinion.
And those turnovers took away... It gave the Packers two opportunities to score, and it took away an Eagles opportunity to score, where you had guaranteed points, as guaranteed as you can be with Jake Elliott with a field goal there down in that area.
Well, the other thing too, and we did a lot of this last year, it's okay to win ugly. You just can't win ugly every single week.
It's hard to do. Yeah,
I mean, good teams win ugly, but what's the issue with the Eagles is they're not putting together performances where it's impressive. So you have to do that in addition to winning ugly games.
So we'll talk next about, we know what happened. We'll talk next about the why. And I actually want to compare Jalen with another quarterback. We talked about it briefly with Donovan just a few minutes ago. And we'll also talk about the other unit that Elliott said he was not impressed with, and that is the defensive line. Yeah. You said you had a question about offensive line, defensive line, and
as I said,
Jalen,
the whole offseason, the offensive line was the best of the
three. Yeah, that's
so
what
it was awesome
always
to see
saying.
Mekhi backed in. I mean, taking a guard at 22, could you imagine?
Wasted pick, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Quinyon, by the way.
Yeah.
Quinyon was pretty good.
So that is all next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Yes, sir.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
VIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, I have two non-Eagles questions for you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Elliot.
Well, I assume for me.
First is about the topic of today, but then also our next question, which has to do with that song right there. So first of all, Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94wip.com/Mark's. It's so funny. Slash. Considering the show and all. Yeah. Are Bryce Harper's non-hustle moments a big deal? 57% say yes. Elliot, your thoughts on the topic.
So I'll be honest and say, I don't get worked up about players not running hard to first base. I don't get worked up when they don't do it on outs. And I think last night, Bryce thought he had a home run. He made a mistake, and that is unacceptable. But I've seen Jimmy Rollins, like, been dragged through the mud for years for not running to first. I see, to your point, other athletes. Zach Ertz, for a whole year, got ripped for that play against the Bengals where his effort was questioned. So while I don't get worked up about it, I completely understand why Bryce deserves a lot of criticism for this, because it's not one time, it's not two times, it's multiple times. And so if I were the Phillies, I think you probably have to bench him. I think you have to. Like, well, I don't.
They're
personally
not going.
I know
to.
They're
you
not.
Know that, right?
But he's a repeat offender. He admitted he was in the wrong by apologizing, and there is no better message to send about not doing it again. Jimmy was benched for it. Like, other players have been benched for it. Bryce has done it repeatedly. It is what it is.
No.
Why?
Well, you just can't. You don't bench Bryce Harper because you haven't. First of all, you haven't done it with anyone else. And as far as Jimmy goes, Charlie Manuel. And the reason why his players loved him as much as he did, why Jimmy never had an issue with it, is because Charlie would tell you, I have two rules, be on time and hustle. Like Charlie was very open about that. And when Charlie had to explain why he set Jimmy, he didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't try to do what Gabe did with Cesar Hernandez, right? Where you just lie and say, well, I sat him. And
you really
didn't tell Cesar that that's what you were doing. You just
one
shot
of the greatest moments ever, by the way. Yeah.
So, like, and more importantly, J-Roll would come out and be like, Skip was right. I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
Can't be late to the ballpark. Because I think he got benched for that too once. Can't be late to the ballpark, and I got to hustle.
But I actually don't think Bryce would be that upset about it. I think Bryce would understand. He didn't hustle. He's done it repeatedly, and he admitted that he did it. And I also think that going into the playoffs, this is a baseball team that makes a lot of mental errors, base running errors, right? So going into the playoffs, there's no better person to send a message with than Bryce.
You don't send messages with Bryce Harper.
But I think that's the best person to send messages with.
Nah. Listen. If this was that type of sport, I may be okay with that. If I felt like psychologically this wouldn't have a negative impact, this thing could become such a story, him benching Bryce Harper, that I don't think the positive will come out of it that we hope comes out of it.
Can I be honest with you? I think he had an opportunity, and I think he missed it.
Yep.
I would have pulled him off of first base, put somebody else on to run for him, and then
do it there, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
maybe
there
then.
You go.
At this point, it's like, I understand where you're coming from. I'm a big bench the guys thing, but I don't think it would work the way that you're hoping that it would work.
So, look, I can't predict the reaction, but I actually think Bryce will come out and say he understands why he was benched, and I do think it is sending a message to the rest of the team. If you bench Castellanos, or if you were to bench Trey Turner, I remember there was talks about benching Trey Turner. I just don't think it's the same as benching Bryce. Bryce would send a strong message. The hustling stuff, It has to stop with this. He's done it repeat times. If it was his first time or even his second time, then I'd be with you. But it's been time and time again where we've talked about this, and it's, well, they probably missed their moment. Well, they probably should have done it here. This is their chance. He apologized. He didn't talk after the game. They have a strong lead in the division. Mm-hmm. You're going into the postseason. Bench the guy that sends the strongest message.
No.
I mean, I would love it.
Not benching Bryce Harper.
I would love it.
But
I
Bryce
just don't
is the guy you do bench.
No.
It's like, I was never in a locker room, but you hear repeatedly that the best way to send a message to the team, like Bill Belichick, would be the hardest on Tom Brady, and that made everybody else realize he wasn't messing around. Bryce should honestly be open to being benched, because I think there'd be a lot of positives to it. But Bryce is the person, when he clearly does not hustle again and again, and I agree, he is not somebody that I think of as someone that doesn't hustle. I do think of him as a hard worker. He does run hard on the base path, but he's repeatedly done it. He just has flat out repeatedly done it.
Have other guys done it?
Not hustled out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trey did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think people don't do it as much as, well, this.
That's not my point. So my only point that I'm making is he hasn't benched anybody else for
But
it.
If you think it's a team-wide problem, not running hard out of the box, then Bryce is the best way to send that message.
You don't send messages.
I think you do.
Nope. I'm telling you don't. I don't believe in that. You don't bench your star NBA player. You don't bench your star baseball player. You don't bench your star football player for stuff like this. You're not benching the quarterback for the quarterback being late to the team playing. And we got to sit here and wait. Coach knows. Everybody knows what time the team playing is supposed to leave. If it was my ass that was late for the team playing, they would leave me here in Philadelphia. When Donovan's late for the team playing, you know what we do? We wait.
We're going to have to ask Donovan about it.
And you get a stern look and say, get here on time next week.
But the difference is,
and he still showed up late the next time.
Well, you can ask Five about that time.
We joke about it. We just know things. Same rules don't apply to everybody.
I agree with that. But I also think benching in baseball is used differently than it is in other sports. Benching somebody in football
because
is far
so
different.
Games.
Now,
yeah.
the better example, I guess, would be with a star quarterback is finding him and scolding him in front of the whole team. Mm-hmm. That would be, like, in baseball, there's so many games. Benching happens somewhat frequently. Like, I don't think it would be as big of a deal. And frankly,
I'm not disciplining Joel Embiid.
But it's but
to
also
appease, to send a message to the rest of my team.
I just don't think you can compare it to how players in other sports are treated because
sure
benching in baseball is more frequent and there's more games. It's not as big of
benching
a deal.
Benching $300 million players is more frequent.
But also $300 million players generally don't keep running.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Watch enough baseball games. Watch them.
All right. Well, Bryce has done it enough times where it's an issue because you yourself have said that other players on the team are doing it. So clearly it is an issue on the team. And the best way to tell Boehm and Schwarber and all these other guys not to do it is to have the top guy benched and punished because
The best way to do it would have been to bench those guys when they did it.
But that's gone. And well, so I think
know,
that was
so
a mistake.
It, so is this
yeah, but you can't let bad decisions
we're right
from...
Here. Can I tell you? There's no way it's not happening.
Benching Bryce
well,
Harper?
No, it's not who Rob Thompson is.
I agree that he's not going to bench him.
This needs to be a situation with JT Realmuto, Kyle Schwarber, mm-hmm. Nick Castellanos, Bryce Harper, where they all look each other in the face and we said, this is not who we are. And but that's it.
But it's been a full year of who they are.
I'm aware, but now it's noticed. I don't think it's been noticed before.
Yeah, okay.
To be honest with you, I think this is the first time that I think the Phillies are an organization that hears what's happening publicly. And I do think they hear this. Well, we
and
know
I think
that Bryce
hears it. I think Bryce, for what it's worth, when he hears it, will react off it. But while I agree it's not who Rob Thompson is, and you're right, Ike, he had a chance to do it and hasn't, the way they've tried to correct this problem has not worked because it's still happening in the playoffs.
But I don't think they've tried to correct it. To be quite honest with you.
It's time to try to correct it.
But it's not. We keep going in these circles.
Yeah. We agree with you in theory. We're just telling you what's practical.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to bench him.
He is the wrong person to do it. It's not who Rob Thompson is.
Thompson's the wrong person to do it.
Yes.
You're saying. Okay.
I don't think he's the right manager to do that. If that's the kind of manager that you want, it just doesn't seem like
he's hopefully he finds another way to fix the problem.
And to support or to piggyback off what you just said about with Rob Thompson, he practically praised him for apologizing and admitting it. You think he's going to turn around and bench him the next day?
I don't think he's going to be benched, to be clear. I'm saying the way they've tried to get Bryce to hustle out of the box all season has not worked because he's still not doing it. Do I think he'll do it in the playoffs? No, I don't.
Right.
I don't. But ultimately, this is a team that makes a lot of silly mental errors, and I think the best way to send a message that's not going to be tolerated is to have your best player sit for a game.
I think the best way to get rid of the silly mental errors is to have a different kind of manager. Now,
that's true.
But that sets the tone from the beginning.
But that's not changing.
Yeah, and by the way, it's
before the playoffs.
They have a bunch of players in general. Trey Turner is not a good shortstop. Nick Castellanos is a flighty kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like, these are players. This is an atmosphere that is, I think, to their detriment and to the positive. I think the way that they're loose and they get along and all those sorts of things are in part because they don't feel that sort of pressure.
I agree with that.
But what will happen, and this is a conversation for after the season, if they fail in the playoffs, Rob Thompson's going to get fired, and I believe that's what will happen. I'm not endorsing that.
No,
I like Rob Thompson.
Saying, yeah.
Rob Thompson will get fired because it is the only real move that they can make, and they will hire a different sort of manager. And that, because I agree with you, those mental errors are all over the place, but it is part of who they are. I don't think it is solvable with one move, like you're saying.
You might be right that it's too late. Like, it's too late that they've become a certain type of team. Because I agree, they have a very specific type of vibe about them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if benching Bryce does enough to change all of it. I just know it keeps happening. So I'm down to try something different than how they've been trying.
All right. Before we get back to the Eagles, next question. We're doing 90 songs today.
I'm so bad at these questions.
1991 was the release of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Just give us a 90s song that you
love.
I'm
just bad at thinking of songs from the 90s. Like, who are some, trying to think the 90s. What grade was I probably in?
Please move on. Skipping this.
Wannabe by Spice Girls.
I'm offended.
Bye Bye Bye, or I don't know. I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Bye 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 was not the 90s, I don't think. I'm pretty sure Bye 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 was
Traded All
2000?
Part 2 by Fab and Diddy. Was that?
2001?
That was my song back in the day.
Okay, all right, that's good.
Brooklyn's Finest.
Real quick.
I got to say some songs. You know.
Real quick on Jalen.
Okay.
These mistakes, to me, are one of three different things. But actually, only two, because the mistakes have been going on for a long time. They are a skill issue. He does not have the ability to see what he needs to see and therefore makes mistakes. Or bad decisions in that he is making bad choices for a different reason. I've talked about, you know, the desire to make big plays, to put, you know, everybody on your back.
Earn the contract.
To earn the contract, to be considered in the same level as the other players on in your offense. And I thought of this, I was watching Brock Purdy last night, who I thought looked actually really good last night, who has most of the credit for Purdy has been given to the system and the star players around him. And he has been able to just sort of not let that affect his play. So either it's Jalen is incapable or unwilling. And I guess that I don't know that you know that answer, but I wonder where that answer lies.
So having rewatched the game a few times and specifically those interceptions, I think the issue on those interceptions is the arm talent. If you think of the interception in the end zone to AJ, I was there live. I thought AJ was wide open. The second he threw it, I was like, this is a touchdown. You rewatch the tape. AJ is wide open. The issue is Jalen just doesn't put enough on the ball, and so it floats up there, and Jaire Alexander is able to get it.
Well, he also threw it a little late, and if he had stayed in the pocket, he could have.
Yes,
because AJ was open earlier, I think, than when he threw it.
Yeah. But the issue is Jalen doesn't have the arm. Like Anthony Richardson's 65-yard touchdown. That's an arm that makes up for mistakes, right? That's probably not a smart throw. You're slipping in the pocket. You're chucking it down the field. That is not a throw that if you make it a bunch of times is going to go well. Jalen has a good enough arm where he can make all the throws when they're there to be made and guys are open and he's on schedule. Jalen's arm isn't good enough to make up for his mistakes. So when he's going to the sideline, he throws it across his body. I'm okay with the throw. AJ's open. The problem is he doesn't throw it hard enough there. And then the first interception, same thing. You have Devontae going down the middle. Now, Jaire McKinney makes a good play, but he just doesn't have the arm to make up for a bad read.
Well, but there is a, for sure, I agree with that, but then there's the decision to make the throw when you make the throw, as opposed to, you know, the end of his career, Peyton Manning didn't have much of an arm.
Exactly.
I don't think, you know, Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning put the ball where the player was going, as opposed to waiting till the player was open and then throwing the ball, which I think if you rewatch both of those plays, Devontae was matched up on a linebacker very early.
Yeah, it's not a bad read.
No,
yeah.
but the throw's late based on his arm. So so I think there is, he has to be aware of, think of a statue, Kirk Cousins, right? Kirk Cousins can't run. Kirk Cousins is not going to try to outrun somebody because he knows he's too slow to outrun somebody. So Jalen's got to be more aware of what his capability is and what his arm is, which will keep him out of situations like that.
So I guess to your question, it's probably a combination of both, but I would lean more it is a skill thing than he's out there thinking, I'm going to make this throw because I got a 250. Like, I think Jalen's issue is more physical than it is a mentality. That makes sense.
Interesting.
I don't see how that matches. He has to have a belief that he thinks he can make that throw. That's a mentality.
That's
his mentality. He believes he can make that throw. He knows his arms. He knows his limitations as a player. He knows he's not about to outrun a wide receiver, right? Like, so he knows, when I say these things, he knows what he can and can't do.
Think about it this way, just as a baseball, you know, metaphor here. If we're talking about Kyle Schwarber, Kyle Schwarber hits a ball to right field and he decides to go for two, even though the guy in right field got the ball quickly, has a good arm. So is that a speed issue or is it a decision-making issue? To me, I'm sort of with Ike on
that's
that.
That's a decision.
It's a decision.
It's a decision, but the throw to AJ was not a bad decision.
It was a bad decision.
So I don't think it was. AJ was open.
Did the ball get intercepted?
Because of the throw. AJ was open. If he makes a better...
That's a yes or no question. Did the ball get intercepted?
It did get intercepted.
Okay, so I didn't ask why it got intercepted because the plain explanation is it got intercepted because he decided to throw the ball there when every quarterback is taught you don't throw the ball across your body in the middle of the field late. That's something you're taught.
I agree with that.
The moment he decides to run to the right side of the field, the only thing he should be thinking about, unless he's making a decision to play hero ball, listen to me, it's throw the ball away or take off running. When you decide to throw the ball late back across your body, you are putting the ball in harm's way. You're lucky if it doesn't get intercepted. That's not something you're teaching guys to do. You know what the coach says when if that's an interception? You know what the coach says in the teaching room? We got away with one there. Great play. But that's not going on the teaching reel for me to teach every quarterback to do that. That's what gets Josh Allen in trouble. It's his decision-making and his belief in his talent. That's Jalen saying to himself, I'm going to try to make something happen here. Because a heady quarterback knows where they're at in the game. They know that they are getting points right now. We are in a situation where we're about to get points.
And big points late.
Why am I taking a chance that I don't need to take? It's unnecessary.
So I agree with you that by the textbook, throwing across your body to the middle of the field is maybe Cardinals sitting number one for a quarterback. But A.J. was open, and he wasn't 40 yards down the field. So I'm okay with him attempting the throw, but it was just such a poor throw that it got intercepted.
I mean, you know why it was a poor throw? Because all of his momentum was going to his right.
Right.
And he's trying to throw the ball back across the field to his left.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying A.J. was open. So watching it live, I understood the throw. Now, you're right. It's not going on a teaching tape. That's not what you're supposed to do. But if he has a special arm, that's a touchdown.
But he doesn't, so it's a bad decision.
No, I'm saying, but because he doesn't have a special arm, that's why it was intercepted.
If he set up in the pocket or if he had a chance to plant his feet, set, and then throw, it's a great play. When you do it when you're on the move to the right, there's no way you can have enough velocity on the ball.
I mean, I think Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar maybe, like they make that throw. Like that's a touchdown for them.
You know what Lamar did? He tried to make that throw, didn't he? To Xavier Worthy?
He did.
I mean, Zay Flowers?
What, this past week?
Yeah, this past week.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't work out.
He
missed him by a mile.
Okay.
Well, the only reason he wasn't intercepted because he threw it out of the back of the end zone.
Because he's got a special arm. He's got the strength to do it. But
that's not the point that you're making. That's not. I
agree with your premise that it's not.
Yes. I don't want to hear is that AJ was open. That's what I don't want to hear. Because that's not the point of the play there. That's making an excuse for a poor decision. That's what that is. That's making an excuse. And I'm tired of seeing it on Twitter. And I'm tired of hearing people make excuses about AJ was open. Well, you know what? If Jalen's feet were planted, he could have made a better throw. He could have got more on the throw.
Yeah, to be clear.
You know why AJ was open? Because everybody was moving to the right and AJ slipped out the back to the left.
Right, right. Look, again, it was a bad play by Jalen. I'm just okay with the throw. He just made a poor throw. I'm not making an excuse for him. Like, it showed his limitations.
I think it's different than a poor throw. It's a throw he isn't physically capable of making, which makes it a bad throw.
Which makes it a poor decision.
I guess in a way they're attached. A decision versus skill.
It's a poor decision on so many levels. The fact you're in the red zone and you got points to put on the board. It's not what you want your quarterback doing.
I was actually surprised. I saw Baldy saying, hey, if AJ hadn't slipped there, and I'm watching the same thing.
Well, AJ slips because the ball isn't going where AJ's expecting it. AJ's adjusting to the ball.
The best case scenario, if AJ doesn't slip, is that he knocks it out of the defender's hands, honestly.
Well, so I guess where maybe I'm defending it a little more is I thought he had other throws that I thought were worse. Like the throw on the final drive where he throws it right
to Dotson. The throw to Dotson on the left side of the field. That should have been the pick six.
That should have been a pick six.
Yep.
But then the other one on the final drive, we already talked about, but he throws it right to Jair Alexander when they're driving a kill clock, only up 2 points, I believe, at that point. Like, that's a worse decision to me. Like, you're throwing it into someone that's covered. I agree with you, Ike. You shouldn't throw it across your body. I'm just saying, in that instance of these plays, AJ was wide open. You just have to get it to him. These other ones, he's throwing it into coverage, which make it worse decisions to me.
Bad decision. That he didn't get paid, that he didn't pay for when he threw it to Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
Terrible decision.
Yep.
Throwing the ball. The play was dead. Throw it away. That's trying to do something that you don't need to do. So when he's shown you that several times, why is that play not an indicator of what he already had previously done? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
All you're saying is, well, AJ was open at time.
Well, it's an important piece of information. The guy is wide open in the end zone when making a decision.
There are situations, I would guess, if we look at tape, where there are players that are open almost every play that you do not have the ability to get the ball
to.
Yes,
I agree. Now, I think this is not the hardest throw in the world, but yes, I agree that there are players. Now, the other thing with the other
We can't go late. We have Jordan Mailata.
Okay, sorry. I can't see the clock.
Yes. We can't make Jordan late.
It's a shame because I got a good Bryce Huff tape.
Yes. Oh, oh, we never even got to the Bryce Huff tech.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you blindsided me with bench Bryce. I didn't know that was coming.
I thought accountability
too many Bryce takes.
Yeah.
Too many Bryce takes.
Yeah, you can catch that on High Hopes, available on all the...
Yes. I'm sure they talked all morning on High Hopes about...
He was put my audible on the final out.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, by the way,
yeah.
before we go to break,
yeah.
the more that we don't make excuses, players realize... We aren't out here making excuses for them.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
As simple as that. But the more we do the LTBB and come up with an excuse every week, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes.
Yeah, I'm not excusing it. Just,
yeah, I'm
I
not
know,
saying
I'm
just you.
I
I'm
know,
just
I
saying
know,
we, when we do this, the players have to realize that they can't do that.
Yes, agreed.
Elliot, it is good to have you back from Brazil.
Happy to be
even
back.
Even though I wish you were arrested.
I know you do,
and
buddy.
I appreciate you coming in wearing a concert t-shirt in your first return, almost as a tribute to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Elliot Shore Parks, you can get the daily Go Birds podcast. It's like 20 minutes, 15 minutes every single morning, plus longer ones after the game, whatever. Just subscribe in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Elliot.
Thanks for having me on.
Remember, you can follow Elliot on Twitter.
Threads as well.
At Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan Mailata will get his take on everything. He joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.